I think if you're paying attention to the headlines at rents.com that I try to present every night, a good cross-section of what's happening in this deterioration that is being orchestrated upon us. And what I'm seeing more and more of are the same kinds of stories that are coming out of Europe constantly. Stories of mentally retarded invaders perpetrating heinous crimes on normal folk. It's bad, and it's getting worse, and it's primarily occurring in the cities. These aren't rural crimes. These are urban crimes, and fighting in the city is going to become a reality sooner than we think. I also suspect that there are going to be individuals, some might call them vigilantes, I wouldn't, who are so sick of communist courts ruling in favor of people who commit murder, rape, robbery, violent acts, people who shouldn't be on the streets of this country, people who with IQs in the 60s, who are out there on taxpayers' money, wreaking havoc on our culture and our society. Look what's happened in Europe. Europe is dead. It's dead, dying, gone. It's they have destroyed Europe with Muslims, with African. These are all basically people who aren't equipped, I'll be very polite, to subsist and to assimilate, even if they wanted to, which they don't and never will, in a first world country. They don't have it. They can't function in a first world country. They don't know what to do except rape, rob, humiliate, and destroy. That's what they do. They're primitives. They're third world, they're fourth world, etc. They are not ever going to fit in here, ever. 120,000 Somalians. Frosty's got another estimate of 85,000 living in Minneapolis, I believe it's Minneapolis. 85,000 people living in Minneapolis with their third and fourth world ethos and their mentally retarded brains. Sorry, that's what science says. It lowered the retardation marker from 85 IQ down to about 70. Let's say 70. So there we are. And who was it that said just a week ago? I can't recall. It was a caution. It wasn't, maybe it was Martin Armstrong, somebody like that. No, it wasn't Martin Armstrong. Somebody said to all Americans, it was James Woods. Get guns and learn how to use them. And the obvious punchline is, if you don't, you may die, especially if you live in an urban area. And then people are afraid to use them. If I use a gun and defend myself, the communist judge will put me in prison for 40 years. It may happen, but at least you'll still be alive. I don't know what to tell you. But yes, everyone should be armed and prepare yourselves. If you don't stand up, you're gone. Mitchell Henderson is back tonight. Hello, Mitch. War in the cities. It's coming soon to a city near you, right? Yeah.
Yes. Well, let me tell you just how serious this is going to be, okay? Because we think about this as, what's going to be done about this, or what's going to spur this? What's going to cause this to break out? Well, yeah. There were two events in the past week that I noticed the press didn't even really talk about. Okay, you've seen reactions to it, but you haven't seen the actual stories. They really downplayed them. So let me tell you the first story first, because it's a revolution in military technology. Okay, that makes all the difference in the world. Okay? So last week, China announced the Yukonji 1000, low-cost hypersonic boost glide missile. Travels Mach 5 to Mach 7, okay? It travels 800 miles, can hit a target out to 800 miles, okay? So we've talked previously on this program about how one missile can possibly hit an aircraft carrier and take it down, like the Exocet took down the HMS Sheffield during the Falkland War. So that's possible. But what makes it probable is if you can swarm these, okay? Because if you can swarm these, then it has neutralized aircraft carrier warfare. The aircraft carrier will no longer be able to project power, right? If a relatively cheap missile can take it out, okay? So this YKJ-1000 missile was made by a private company in China. Not a state-owned enterprise, but a private company.
Oh, how interesting.
They took a lot of off-the-shelf stuff, okay, for its composite outside, common cement that you can buy in the store, okay? Uh-huh. Do you know how much each of these missiles costs?
I saw the story.
$99,000.
Less than $100,000, yeah.
$99,000.
Can you imagine? Let me add something here. The USS Gerald R. Ford is now eminently vulnerable. It can be taken out right now. Those times you're describing are here. The projection of aircraft carrier firepower are now almost moot. Anybody can, let's say if Putin wants to give away the Kinzhal hypersonic anti-ship missile, etc., he can give one to anybody he wants. And they could take out any ship that comes along. It's possible. The USS Harry Truman, which was on scene and was actually primarily involved with attacking Yemen and hit by Yemen missiles, we always wondered, was the ship hit by Yemen missiles? I have a story that says the Harry Truman, the carrier, was hit by many of Yemeni's missiles. And it did $100 million damage to the USS Truman, which has been pulled out of the Red Sea and is now gone for long-term repairs. It's out of action. I don't know if that's true or not, but I believe it probably is. Go ahead.
No, I think it is. It is true. But you see, here's another thing about the YKJ 1000 is it's meant for open sale on the open market in the world.
Oh my!
They intend to sell these to countries like Venezuela that need to protect themselves. Okay.
So, we could buy one.
So this will neuter American projection of power. It will neuter it.
Done.
So this is a revolution in military technology.
Yeah.
The American missiles that shoot these down, the SM-6, cost $4 million apiece to shoot down a $100 million thing. If you go back to before World War II when Billy Mitchell was arguing for air power, that's what he was saying. The battleship costs all this money, but an airplane is chump change compared to what a battleship costs. But an airplane can sink that battleship. And that that was a revolution in naval warfare. This is a new revolution. So think about this. Let's do combat multiplying of this. So you've got the YKJ 1000, and then if you want to swarm, you know, you have cheaper, drones and stuff that you can swarm in there too and just make a big blur, a radar blur coming at you. It looks like a bee swarm coming at you. You can't possibly shoot all these things down, okay? So the drones themselves, even if they have explosives on them, they themselves are relatively inexpensive decoys, okay?
Gotcha.
Decoys that can actually hit.
Yep.
So this is very important because the second thing that happened last week was our new national security strategy. Okay, this is going to change everything. Okay, the global elites are extremely unhappy with this national security strategy. Okay. So let me just go. Here's a few things. This is what Secretary Hegseth said about the national security strategy. He said, the U.S. should not be distracted by democracy building, interventionism, undefined wars, regime change, climate change, woke moralizing, and feckless nation building. We will instead put our nation's practical concrete interests first. On China, listen to this. This is actually earth-shaking, okay? We will seek a stable peace, fair trade, and respectful relations with China. We will have a policy of respecting the historic military buildup China is undertaking, while the Pentagon maintains a clear-eyed appreciation of how rapid, formidable, and holistic the military buildup has been. Just think about the YKJ 1000 hypersonic missiles. This is life-changing.
$99,000 a copy, friends,
yes.
And 10% off probably if you buy 10 of them. I'm telling you, this is yeah, go.
Yeah, cheap. And this is what it says about Russia. Russia is not a threat to the USA, but Europe faces civilizational erasure. Europe needs to end mass migration and stop censorship. Europe needs to stop blocking U.S. efforts to end the war in Ukraine. This is in the National Security Strategy Statement policy. Okay.
Wow.
The U.S. must reestablish strategic stability to Russia. This would stabilize European economies. If you notice, this stuff sounds like it's realistic, which is very, very odd. And I will explain why that is. The U.S. should prioritize resistance to Europe's current trajectory within European nations. Western identity must be restored, or there will be civilizational erasure in Europe, which you were talking about at the very beginning of this program. Okay? The U.S. encourages its political allies in Europe to promote this revival of spirit. Okay? On the multipolar world, it recognizes a multipolar world, not a U.S. leadership in the world, but a multipolar world. China leader in the Pacific, U.S. leader in the Western Hemisphere, Monroe Doctrine, and Europe. It wants Russian, Chinese, and Iranian influence out of Latin America. In other words, they want to focus on battles they think they can win. Translation, they do not want Latin American nations to get YKG 1000 missiles. It would be like them getting nuclear weapons. It neuters our Navy.
Yeah.
Now I think we can get a clear picture of why this war in Venezuela. Okay, this is to get Russia, China, and Iran out of the Western Hemisphere. They can have influence where they are, but they don't want them to have it over here.
That's exactly what we've been talking about. Yes, yes, they know. They want South America as an American colony, and they want to kick everybody else out. Okay, go ahead.
Right. Okay, so the wild card in this is Israel. Because we've downgraded our emphasis, Israel will work hard to suck us into a major war with Iran. Now, this goes back to what I was saying previously, that they could use Venezuela as an excuse for a large and devastating black flag operation on the United States to suck us into a war with Iran.
Yep.
Think about this now with our new Israel policy. Okay, which is new. It's very different. We've downgraded our strategic alliance with them. Okay, and this puts more pressure. Israel today announced this huge, almost billion-dollar budget in propaganda because they know they're losing the narrative in the world. They know they've lost moral force in the world. They cannot lose America or they are dead. So they have to do something. We are backing Israel into a corner where they're going to have to take some drastic action.
Guess who's coming to the White House for the fifth time in 10 months for a formal state powwow? Benjamin Netanyahu. He told Trump to invite him over. He'll be over to give Trump new marching orders. Trump will say, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. This is all despicable, all of it. That one warehouse in New Jersey is processing, transshipping 1,000 tons of American munitions, military gear, hardware, etc., to Israel every week. being flown over by C-5s, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, C-17s, back and forth, and ships. This is outrageous what this country has been doing, giving its own wealth to this little eyesore in the Middle East. It's causing so much grief. Go ahead.
So let me tell you where this new strategy comes from. Okay, it comes from a guy named Elbridge Colby. He's the grandson of CIA Director William Colby.
The murdered
CIA director. Okay, so he's very
CIA
much an
director.
Establishment guy. Okay,
yeah.
So he is the founder of the Marathon Initiative, a grand strategy think tank that emphasizes realism in strategy.
AI is about
okay.
to evolve.
He is currently the Undersecretary of Defense for Policy. He wrote this policy, okay? So let me tell you, give you some background on this guy, because this is where these ideas come from. Colby has advocated for a complete shift away from the Middle East, Europe, NATO, and Russia. He knows that these areas are not a realistic threat to America, and we are wasting money there. An indicator of this was the September meeting of all generals and admirals at Quantico, showing that Secretary Hegseth also believes that Russia and Iran are not a threat to the USA. In other words, we should not go to nuclear war over Israel or Ukraine. They are not existential interests. This is his terminology. Existential interests are not and are not even all that important to us.
Right.
This is realism. Okay, China is an economic competitor, but not a direct military threat to the United States. And what he means by that is not that they don't have a big military. It's just that that military is not meant to attack us. It's meant to defend themselves from us, okay? Colby says that Taiwan is important to the U.S., but not an existential interest. In other words, we should not go to nuclear war over Taiwan. He thinks we should try to contain China behind the first island chain, but we need Japan to remilitarize to do that containment and make it known to China that it does not want a Chinese invasion of Taiwan. So this is some of the new president of Japan has been pushing. When Trump went with them, they were all happy. They're not really happy about the trade deal. They're happy that the new president of Japan, or prime minister of Japan, is going to push to erase the military restrictions in the Constitution, and Japan intends to build its military back up. Okay, so
you know
that the United States doesn't have to do the heavy lifting.
Do you know the, everybody knows the rising sun flag in Japan from World War II. The Japanese military still uses that same flag.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry, the Navy. It's the Navy. The Navy.
Yeah, that's their man of war flag.
Yeah. That's it.
Yep.
So they still use it, interestingly enough.
Yep.
Go ahead. This is fascinating. And if they succeed in boxing China in so that it doesn't attack Taiwan, that's a big victory. I would be remiss if I didn't mention that. The China definitely wants it. They keep pushing and pushing, probing and probing
building
a whole new...
Well, it belongs to them. That's why they want it. The United Nations... says that it belongs to them. So
right.
Anyways, Colby does not describe the Chinese Communist Party or Chairman Xi as evil. He supports treating China with respect. He does not want to suppress or humiliate China. He is against trying to change China's internal politics or ideological system as long as China does not seek to control by coercion the nations of the Pacific. Economic leadership and integration is okay, just not political leadership and integration. Okay? This is a big change in U.S. policy, okay? Colby advocates for peace based on realistic reading of the world. Let reality drive policy instead of politics. Colby is for deprioritizing North Korea. He says it would not be rational to lose multiple American cities to deal with North Korea. He wants South Korea to take over dealing with North Korea, and thus getting involved only if China gets involved in the conflict. Okay. The U.S. forces in Korea should be focused on protecting South Korea from Chinese attacks instead of being hostage to North Korea. In reality, China has little interest in attacking South Korea and would rather continue doing business with it. If South Korea became like North Korea, that would be very bad for Chinese business. Okay, extremely bad for Chinese business.
Yeah.
So they're not interested in North Korea taking South Korea. They're more likely to act as a restraint on North Korea, North Korean adventurism. He thinks we should give South Korea nuclear weapons. Okay? That balances them out with North Korea. He is against Ukraine being in NATO. Colby supports the reduction of the U.S. military in the Middle East. He calls this area realistically relatively unimportant from a geopolitical standpoint. He wants to withdraw our forces from the Persian Gulf and is against any war with Iran. He says we should help the Arab nations build up their military and deal with their own problems. Colby wants a reset of America's relationship with Israel, that we should not become enmeshed in another Middle Eastern war on their behalf. He opposed attacking the Houthis. You have to realize that this policy change is an existential threat to Israel. It is not the midterm elections they have to worry about. It is our current realistic national defense strategy that is an existential threat to them. Israel must draw us into a shooting war with Iran because they are losing the narrative, the initiative, and have lost their moral force. They will have to do a black flag attack on the U.S. to change things. Okay, the second guy responsible for this policy is a guy named A. Wes Mitchell, and he's a college professor at Catholic University. He's the co-founder of the Marathon Institute. So there's a book that he wrote that's very important about this. It's called The Unquiet Frontier, and it's a book that argues against the strategy of deterrence by punishment, which threatens to punish aggression with economic sanctions, trade embargoes, and other forms of retaliation, and emphasize deterrence by denial, which seeks to make the object of attack more resistant to attack by making an attack itself more costly. Because we already know sanctioning people doesn't do anything. Okay? They've never changed. We've been sanctioning Cuba since 1959, and they haven't changed. You know, why do we keep doing shit that doesn't work, is what he's saying. He realistically says that a simultaneous war with Russia, China, and Iran is not sustainable. Two-front wars have always, always failed. It was the end of Hitler. It was the end of Germany in World War I, the end of Germany in World War II.
Yeah.
It doesn't work. Why we think we can do things. It's like we went to Afghanistan. Everybody's failed in Afghanistan. We said, oh, yeah, well, we're not going to fail. We failed. Okay. So these people are realists in that they kind of learn from history. The third guy is a guy named Yakub J. Grigiel. He's a senior advisor at the Marathon Initiative and co-author of Unquiet Frontier with A. Wes Mitchell. Grigiel is also a realist. He published an article in Strategica titled "Russia Will Not Be Our Friend Against China," which says trying to drive a wedge between them is vain and pointless policy. You can see this in Trump abandoning that policy in a new national defense strategy. If you remember back when he was running for president, he says, oh, we're just going to turn China against Russia. Well, that was a crazy idea. It's not going to work. Another article published in the American Interest was titled "Why Russia is in Syria," in which he said that the Russian naval base in Syria was not a threat to the U.S. or NATO. You can see this in Trump's meeting with Syria's new leader, who has good relations with Russia, and Trump dropping sanctions on Syria. Reality says that such policy does not address any real threat. So he's dropped it. Okay. This is also goes back to, remember I was just talking about how they want Japan to take the leading role in Asia. They want them to build up their military and be the leading counter-China role in Asia. Not an enemy of China, because Japan does a lot of trade with China, not an enemy of them, but at least to keep them from any military adventurism. Okay, because that's all they think we need to do. China is not predisposed to to use its military on anybody. Okay, they had this big built-up over defense. So part of solving the problem is not being a threat to them. Okay, it's like because Japan's going to be a defensive threat, not an offensive threat. Japan isn't going to have any policy of spreading its way across Asia like in World War II. It's just going to stand there strong as sort of a bulwark against China going to going on the offensive. Okay, so let me tell you who hates this new policy. Europe hates it. The global homo elite hate it.
Right.
Okay. Israel hates it. Okay. So you can see they're attacking his policy on many fronts, on the civilizational destruction, his immigration policies. Okay, of going out and arresting these people, or at least making a show of going out and arresting these people. And then the left is there spinning on attacking federal officers. So we had like six congressmen get up, post-military congressmen get up and make speeches telling the soldiers not to disobey illegal orders. But I want the audience to understand what they're talking about. Listen, no soldier needs to be told that if they're ordered to go rape, murder, and pillage, no matter how much they want to do that, they know mm-hmm. that is an illegal order and they can get in trouble if they do it. Okay, so that's not a question. Every soldier knows that. He does not have to obey an order to murder somebody. He doesn't have to, okay? And every soldier knows that through all time,
right.
Okay? But, however, what they're trying to imply is this. So Trump orders the National Guard into Chicago area, okay, to do what? To protect federal buildings and protect federal employees, right? Is that in any way an illegal order? There's nothing illegal about protecting property or people. There's nothing illegal about that. But what these senators and these congressmen traitors are trying to say is that since some global homo Marxist federal judge says, oh, Trump can't deploy troops there, that somehow makes it an illegal order for them to send troops to Chicago. That is not an illegal order, people. That is not anywhere in any international law a war crime or against the Geneva Conventions. That is not an illegal order. That federal judge is making a civil order, okay, which is not talking about a crime. So these National Guardsmen are not committing crimes out there. It's not a crime to protect federal officers and federal buildings. They would have you believe that is a crime against humanity. That is pure hyperbole and bullshit. Okay, that is certainly not. So you see that, and then they say, well, we can't bomb these poor drug smugglers on their boats. We can't just kill them. You know, listen, I used to work with these guys who take the boats north from Colombia and Venezuela and Panama. I knew these guys. I drank with them. I hung out with them. Okay, these are not nice people. They're pirates. If they ran across you on the beach, they would murder you and dump your body out at sea. If they run across you out at sea, you're just casually sailing your boat or fishing. If they run across you, they're going to butcher all of you and send you to the bottom. These people are the most evil, heartless, soulless scum that exists.
Gotcha. All right. Now, question.
Yes.
Are some of them in the wrong place at the wrong time?
No, I don't think so. I mean, you can look at the boats. This is the kind of boats they use to bring drugs to me. They use those boats. They come all the way from Colombia to Costa Rica in those boats because they go fast. They're planing holes. They go fast. They get it in a good weather window.
That's a long haul, isn't it? Wow.
Yes, it is. And they're gasoline. See, part of what I had to do when I went to pick up the cocaine at the beach is I had to take cans of gasoline down to them, so when they offloaded the cocaine, they unloaded the gas that I purchased for them. And just to show what good relations I had with them, I also bought them coolers full of ice and like soda pops and stuff like that, and sacks of snacks and stuff for the trip back. In other words, I was being nice and friendly to the pilots.
Okay? Well, I'm sure. I mean,
these guys are vicious, evil people. But once they know that I'm working with them, they're very polite and stuff to me. They won't be polite to you if you just happen upon them. But I'm in business with them, so they were very polite to me. Okay. So I know how those people are. And they say, they were the fishermen. Well, how do you think these guys got their skills to be pirates? They started out probably as fishermen. And they learned to drive boats. They learned to navigate.
Sure.
They learned to do that as fishermen. And then they went over to the dark side and went into piracy. Okay.
Gotcha.
I know their stories. I've hung out with them.
Sense.
I know them. I know how they are.
Well, thank you for the clarification. This is good. So they know exactly what these boats are. Then they really do.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I know who those people are. You know.
Got it.
Do you think they've changed since 1990 or 1995? You think they're different people now? No, they're always the same people.
Gotcha.
You know?
Yeah. Very good.
So what I want to talk about next is just the change in Israel policy, and this is a little bit more nuanced because it's in the wording and stuff, okay? When Trump came on board, he said that Israel was a strategic partner. Israel is seen as a vital, capable, and dependable partner of U.S. strategic interests in the Middle East, helping to counter threats and project influence without large U.S. troop deployments. A core goal is to ensure Israel's security and maintain its quality of military equipment and stuff to advance U.S. In technology, intelligence sharing, and defense industrial cooperation. Blah, blah, blah. So it's all this nonsense, okay? So the new policy on Israel, okay, says core interest. The strategy explicitly states that Israel must remain secure as a fundamental U.S. interest in the Middle East. That's not saying the same thing. That's downgraded. Okay, shift in focus. The document frames the Middle East as moving from a major irritant to a region of potential partnership, allowing the U.S. to focus more on great power competition instead of this nonsense. Okay, a major goal is to expand the Abraham Accords to foster greater normalization and economic ties between Israel and the Arab nations, promoting regional stability. This isn't talking war. This is talking business, okay? Reduced U.S. intervention. While supporting Israel, the strategy implies less direct U.S. intervention in conflicts with Hamas, Hezbollah, or Iran, expecting Israel and regional partners to manage issues and deter threats. I think I need to say that again, because this is earth-shaking, okay? While supporting Israel, the strategy implies less direct U.S. intervention in conflict with Hamas, Hezbollah, or Iran, expecting Israel and regional partners to manage issues and deter threats. Now, this means he's building the Arab nations' militaries up. Israel was very upset when Trump offered Saudi Arabia F-35s. Because that's top of the line technology. Although anybody who knows a lot about it, Saudi Arabia is probably not going to take them up on the F-35 because, in reality, it's kind of a crappy jet. Okay.
I've heard that, I think you're 100% correct. From everything I've heard, it's one of those hybrids built by too many companies. Yeah. I get it. I wouldn't. Oh, way overpriced. How about the F-22? 350 approximately million dollars a copy for an F-22. That's ridiculous. The Chinese are walking away from us.
The F-22 is better than the F-35.
Oh, wait. I don't think that's even on the table. I totally have always felt that way. But it's still, compared to the Chinese and the cost they have to bear for producing some pretty damn good pieces of hardware. Not all great, but some of them are. I don't know. We've got to stop this running over cost Every time they have a contract, there's always overruns. That's how they make their money, these contracts.
It's American business. It's about ripping people off. It's not about providing actual services and goods for the benefit of the people or the customer. But this is why this YKJ 1000 is a revolution in warfare, because this means that this is neutered the American Navy. The American Navy, just think about this. We're talking a year or two out. The American Navy will not be able to we can't send an aircraft carrier task force to some third world country and expect to bully them, because they can sink that. They will have to park that thing over 800 miles away.
That's right.
Okay, they cannot go.
And that's just for that one missile.
Gunboat diplomacy is over, in other words.
The next missile will have a 1,500-mile range. Come on.
Oh, yeah. It'll improve. And this is not for the Chinese. The Chinese will, of course, buy these. The Chinese are elated about it. But this is for sale overseas, because this is a private company. Okay, the state-owned enterprises, they can sell stuff, but, you know, there's certain things they want to keep close to the vest. Okay, but this was permitted as in a private company, because this private company is intended to make profit from these missiles and stuff. Okay, and there's several things. This missile also, it is not just a straight line trajectory passively guided. Passively guided means it homes in on a heat signature or radar signature or something like that. Okay, this is actively guided. So these cheap missiles, they can maneuver them into the target. Okay, so they can make evasive measures with them, and the instead of using very expensive composite material, they just took stuff off the shelf. They even package them in containers, so you can just move a container somewhere and shoot it.
Uh-huh.
Okay,
yeah.
So this is dirt cheap. Okay, I mean, it's really dirt cheap. It's something that, with a loan from a bank, I could buy one and pay it off in increments. Okay, I mean, this is how much some cars cost, right?
Oh, so, absolutely. A pickup truck with all the extras would be $100,000.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So these missiles, any third world country can buy these, you know. And let me tell you, we had to listen for years about how the Belt and Road program is militarizing the world and projecting Chinese military power overseas. Well, the new people in charge at the Pentagon say, well, you know, that's really bullshit. It's a good idea to build all this infrastructure for trade, you know, because these guys are more trade-minded than they are, you know. It's like we can gain advantage from the Belt and Road. All we don't want to do is we don't want these other countries selling their military wares in our backyard, because what we want to do is we want to stop these countries from sending us people and sending us drugs. We want to stop them from doing that, okay? So listen, all this sounds like a great, wonderful idea. Like, oh, finally some people in the Pentagon got their wits together about them and took a realistic view of the world, which they did, okay? I'm not gonna deny that. They still don't have a completely clear view, but it's light years above what anybody's been doing for the past 50 years. Okay, so what has happened is it's sort of like, oh, somebody came into power. Actually, they put somebody into power in the United States who is now not going to follow their program. Okay, so let me predict what you're going to see. You're going to see, if you notice, when Trump became president, whatever Trump wants to do, it's always a bad idea. They're always going to have protests about it. They're going to encourage protests and resistance to it, no matter what it is. Okay, you can expect that to step up greatly. Okay,
uh-huh.
This also leads to civil war. Okay,
uh-huh.
So we've got that track going. they're using lawfare, they're using liberal Marxist judges to counter the will of the American people and to work against the interests of the American people. Okay, people are going to get tired of that at some point, and I think they're counting on people getting tired of that, because you can't have a revolution if just, you can't have a civil war if just one side is fighting. So I think it'll start as a revolution and then turn into civil war. It better turn into civil war, because you know what? If you do not think like a global homo Marxist, woke Marxist, these people will kill you. They're going to take your stuff and they're going to kill you. They will do it. They killed over 200 million people in the last century. They don't have a problem killing 200 million Americans. Okay, they'll do it.
Oh, no.
You can tell they'll do it.
That's
and they walk up and shoot guardsmen in the street. They'll do it. They'll do any act of violence. It does not matter.
No, human life
is
nothing.
And they have no mercy for you. They look at. They'd laugh when you get killed or something. Okay, they have no heart. They have no soul at all. And the problem is the good people. They do have a heart. They do have a soul. But you know what? You're going to have to buckle up, stand up, and fight for yourself, because they're going to kill you. They're going to kill your children. You don't have a right to let your children die on their behalf, okay? You don't have a right to do that. You got to protect your kids, protect your family, protect yourself, okay? You have a right to do that. You have a God-given right to do that, and you should do it.
I would go further. I'd say you have a God-given responsibility.
I think responsibility is a much better word, Jeff. I think that's hitting the nail on the head. So that's one area. The other area, and then an international geopolitical thing, this is it. Israel has lost the narrative in the world. They've lost moral force. Everybody hates them. Nobody respects them.
Correct.
They have lost any support. With the death of Charlie Kirk, it's already been several months. Turning Point USA is not doing any good. Okay.
No, they're in big. They're ravaged, ripped to shreds with corruption, obvious theft, all kinds of evil things. And that's just a reflection from a few of the stories I'm seeing. People are stepping up now and making all kinds of admissions. Whistleblowers, whatever you want to call them, they're telling the truth. This was a rotten organization. I'm not saying Charlie Kirk was rotten.
But they took money
under false pretenses.
They're taking money that people give them to press the word and playing the stock market with it and stuff. I saw one guy complaining about that, like that wasn't what they were given the money for and stuff. But it's about making more and more money and stuff. So as Charlie Kirk was for. Trying to wake people up to the fact that the left hates you and they will kill you and they have no mercy for you, no respect for you. The death of the National Guardsmen shows you that these people will kill anybody. Okay, they will kill anybody.
That's true. We are headed toward much more of this. It's going to get bad. Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's going to get very bad. Okay, so on the international thing, Israel has to do something, Jeff. They have to do something drastic. 9/11 won't even touch what they have to do. If they did a 9/11 today, nobody's going to be persuaded to go to war against Iran. Okay? They're not, a 9/11, 3,000 people is not good enough. Okay, they're going to have to do, for Israel to dig itself out of this moral abyss that they're in, they're going to have to do something catastrophic and something traumatic, okay? It's going to have to be devastating because they have to sway everybody. They can't sway 1% or 2% of the population. They got to sway a full 50%, okay? And I think they know that they're not going to persuade all of us. I think they know that half of us are going to immediately say, oh, yeah, Iran didn't do this, Israel did this. So they're aware of that, but they need at least half of us on their side, okay? And they can fool. I think they can fool that many people, okay? So, but people, there's a third thing here that I'm guilty of not talking about it enough. Okay, but the third thing is economic collapse. Okay, and what makes me nervous about the economic collapse is that, first of all, this strategy change is really about the economy, ultimately. Trump has to do something to get the economy on track. We can't just keep going down the same geopolitical war. We have made the world unstable for business. We've made it difficult to do business. So they have to somehow, you know, come to, you know, listen, if we can do business, listen to the themes. If we can do business with Russia and we can do business with China, oh, you know what? The economy in the United States might just pick up. You realize that? The United States cannot alienate a market of a billion Chinese and 1.5 billion Indians and expect to have a good economy. We have alienated half the world's population against us with sanctions and tariffs and all this nonsense. If Trump wants to survive, and his ego is important, he wants to be a great president. So he's actually listening to some people right now who are realistic about it. But the problem is the global homo elite doesn't care about Trump and doesn't care about us. It cares about its agenda, and Trump is not playing along with their agenda right now. So what's going to happen is, when Israel wants to do this attack, guess who's going to be all for it? The global homo elite are ready for it. They're going to be just happy for it. So this economic crash that's coming, it really, I don't think there's anything that we can do about it. Some of the one of the big indicators of that there's not anything we can do about it is the guy who's been talking about it for at least a year now, Jamie Dimon. You know, he's a multimillionaire because he's got a good feel for what economies are going to do. In other words, he's profited from downturns in the economy, and he's profited from upturns in the economy. So he's got a good feel for it. I may not like the guy. I may have a problem with him. But when he talks about the economy, I think it would be wise to listen to him because I think he knows what he's talking about. And we're into the final year that he says this has got to happen. Okay. So you know, he's getting prepared for it.
Right.
I think we should too. So the implications that we have for that is that if this comes, if there's a collapse of the economy, you're not going to be able to buy guns and ammunition and food and stuff. If they come up with this digital currency, digital ID currency stuff, you're going to be shut off from all that, and prices will go so high. So, you know, I think you got a little bit of time. You know, pace yourself, but get collecting that food, collecting the tools that you need. You do need guns and ammo because you're going to have to fight for your life. Okay. Probably within a year or so, you're going to have to fight for your life. And if we're not in open warfare, but the economy has collapsed and they want you to get this digital ID, the mark of the beast business like the UK has now, if they want you to do that, you're going to have a food supply because, you know, you don't need the vacations, you don't need all this other stuff, but you do need food. So you do need to stock up on food now, you know. Enough food to get you through that period when you can't buy and sell.
I got it. Yeah, well, these are very difficult times, and they're going to get worse. That's what we can tell everyone. And if you don't really prepare to defend yourself and your family, God help you. I don't know what else to say. These times are unprecedented. They're being perpetrated by the most evil imaginable on the planet, and they're not going to go away.
The Final Wars. In The Final Wars, I tell you how to fight. Okay, I tell you how to survive.
Oh, it's the Bible of survival. The Bible of survival, and it's true.
Yep.
The Final War
is available at Amazon.
Yeah, please get that book, and if you have no other book, that's the one. That is it. Okay, Mitch, great job. And so what's your quick take on Trump's attack on Venezuela? What and when? Or if?
Well, you know what? That admiral's going to be gone on the 11th. This is already, what, the 8th?
Halsey is already out of job. They removed him, I think.
Yeah, so it could be any time now. I'm thinking it might still not be until after New Year's, but it could be any time.
Well, it could be before Christmas. I think that the deciding factor, or certainly one of them, is what missiles, what type missiles, how many Putin sent to Colombia with Russian crews and one general with Russian, a couple hundred Russian servicemen and women, perhaps, there to operate the missiles, obviously. That's what they're there for. So maybe that's causing trouble.
He has to do the attack before they get these Chinese missiles.
The Chinese missiles are very
important. He has to do the Venezuela thing before they ever get their hands on a bunch of those missiles.
He's going to have to explain the loss of B-52s, of ships, of thousands potentially of American men and women in the military. We could suffer enormous losses in this bizarre thing. I don't know. It's not good. Not good. Thank you, Mitch. Very good job, as always. Wow. Great job. All right. You be safe out there. Talk soon.
Okay.
Mitchell Henderson, The Final Wars, an Amazon book, and grab it. It's Mitch's really magnum opus on this whole thing of survival. All right. Back with you tomorrow night. Thanks for being here. Take care.